Well, good morning, all. Today, Sunday, the 24th of June, the last Sunday in the month of June. Can you believe it? That happened kind of quickly. And, of course, the first Sunday in actual calendar summer. And here in New Hampshire, of course, we've got a variety of different weather. You know, it's hot, then it's cold, and it's hot, and it's rainy, and it's thunder showers, and so it's a dynamic environment. Well, let's pray. Father God, great opportunity we have to serve you, to come before you, your throne with singing and praise. Lead us, Holy Spirit, as only you can do. And we thank you in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, ready to lift your voices up to the Lord in songs and prayers and all those things. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock, now I know. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. No, Lord, we need for You to express Your vision for us, that our vision and Your vision are coordinated, are hand in hand. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I whisper with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Yes, Lord, still be my vision. I like to bring some of our current events, if you will, my good friends at the Trumpet Online sent this out. It's kind of lengthy. I'm not going to be able to read it all. But it basically, the headline on it was Black Lives Matter Movement Infecting Churches. Now, there's a lot of things that are infecting churches these days. The issues of abortion is okay, or transgenderism or homosexuality, these are all things that need to be addressed by the pulpit, by the elders, by the people in the church, and not to be fearful of standing up. Recently, John Piper, who is very well known, was reported in Christianity Today that John Piper had jumped on board the Black Lives Matter, the BLM they call that, bandwagon. At first, Piper was reticent to support BLM when he visited blacklivesmatter.com and noted that the site's three women founders were, and these were the words that he used, queer-affirming and transgender-affirming. Yet Piper stayed on board with that crowd. He even encouraged white evangelicals to pause before saying anything like, "All lives matter." Has Piper lost his mind? Maybe Piper should pause before saying anything. Piper is a highly respected evangelical. Said, "I saw a statistic that there were 102 unarmed black men killed by police. But that's not the whole story, since most of those blacks were armed, resisted, or disobeyed police orders. Such reactions are an invitation to be shot." Even Calvin College invited a left-wing black activist, Michelle Higgins, to speak to their students. Michelle was invited to speak in October 2016, but being detained in an airport, she spoke via Skype and told the overflowed crowd of evangelicals, "It is clear that in our nation," she explained, "we don't treat all lives as equal. No minorities are given special treatment to compensate for long periods of discrimination. Has Calvin College lost their direction?" According to the Chimes, the mouthpiece for Calvin College reported, however, "she cautioned us against replacing Black Lives Matter with All Lives Matter. Heavens no, they must never do that." Higgins has become the unofficial voice of BLM and is a very persuasive speaker. She is a professing Christian using the Bible to support her spurious cause. She directs worship and outreach at South Church in St. Louis, associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. She sees white supremacy as the reason for everything wrong with America. She demands whites look honestly in their heart and repent of known or unknown hatred, real or imagined, while she sees Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Eric Garner as innocent, misunderstood choir members. Higgins is a graduate of Covenant Theological Seminary and a proud supporter of local activism groups, MCU, which is Metropolitan Congregations United. She is a radical racial agitator who is being accepted as a compassionate racial healer by some evangelical groups. As a leader in the Black Lives Matter movement, she is called Michelle the Marxistan, spoke to 16,000 students at the Urbana 15 Student Missions Conference in St. Louis on December 28, 2015. Urbana is part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, formerly a respected Bible student organization, I should say biblical student organization. The team worship singers wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts in preparation for the speaker. At that meeting, Michelle said, "The decentralized movement of Black Lives Matter allows local pastors or local groups to use the phrase to mean all black people are despised and systematically in some such way that our country does not hesitate to refuse them proper health care, quality education, or fairness in the face of potential arrest. That is a ridiculous, inflammatory statement with an intent to manipulate the unwary, uneducated, and uninformed." Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I'll just leave it with this. She asserted that black people are sacred to God. But then the truth of the matter is all people are sacred to God. She didn't say that. I'm saying that. Higgins declared the United States is not so different from the Roman Empire, but surely a college and seminary graduate knows better than to belch such Tommy rot. The leader of the U.S. is not a dictator. People are not thrown into an arena to be devoured by vicious animals. Men and women do not fight to the death to satisfy a bloodthirsty crowd. More than half of the residents of any major city are not slaves, but when Then we are taxed like Romans, who placed heavy taxes on land, on goods and food, and on inheritances. Farmers and the poor suffered the most under their system of taxes. Well, I'm going to leave it there, but you can see that there's great need for discernment within the church in general, because some of these things are getting in and people are afraid to stand up and stand against them. Well, you know, I always like to bring some historical perspective and different anecdotal statements. Thomas Paine in 1776 says, "I love that man that can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. 'Tis the business of little minds to shrink. But he whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principles unto death." Great statement. And then from George Washington, 1789. "No compact among men can be pronounced everlasting and inviolable, and if I may so express myself, that no wall of words, that no mound of parchment can be so formed as to stand against the sweeping torrent of boundless ambition on the one side, aided by the sapping current of corrupted morals on the other." And this from former Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. "America did not create religious liberty. Religious liberty created America." And we read, of course, in Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Whatever beautiful and valuable truth about God is clear, and there is little response of the heart, God is dishonored. When those that see it delight in it, God is more glorified than if they only see it. James Wilson, signer of the Declaration, 1790, says, "Without law, liberty loses its nature and its name and becomes licentiousness." Did you know that this past week, the President of the United States, POTUS, we use that acronym, POTUS, we use the same thing for SCOTUS, for the Supreme Court of the United States, the President signs 10 millionth United States patent. 10 millionth United States patent. James Madison, our President, 1789. "If individuals be not influenced by moral principles, it's in vain to look for public virtue. It is therefore the duty of legislators to enforce, both by precept and example, the utility as well as the necessity of a strict adherence to the rules of distributive justice." I don't know if you've ever been called a Jesus freak, but being considered a Jesus freak by the forces of evil, as far as I'm concerned, is a label I wear as a badge of honor. The godless left is really not godless. They are Christless, but not godless. Most of the godless left simply serve the god of self. You see it everywhere you look. My body, my choice, don't judge me. Who are you to tell me what I can do? John Adams, second president, said, "They define a republic to be a government of laws and not of men." Confirmation biases, damages reputations. It ruins credibility. It destroys lives. When reporters cherry-pick facts and distort images to serve political agendas, media outlets become dangerous weapons of mass manipulation. Dangerous weapons of mass manipulation. Those who are blatantly, proudly immoral have no tolerance for your conservative or Christian worldview, and they have created an unabashedly intolerant belief system, one that claims you are the evil, intolerant person. I doubt this comes as any real surprise as you search Google, Facebook, or YouTube. It's obvious that blatant immorality that violates God's commandments is celebrated and your biblical worldview is denounced and censored. We have overwhelming evidence that Christian and conservative content is being policed. This is wrong. It's manipulative and it's religious discrimination, plain and simple. That is why we are fighting back, alerting the public, and taking action against those who wish to tip the political and social scales away from Christians and conservatives. In 1776, Anglican clergyman and hymn writer John Newton wrote in a letter, "A Christian is not of hasty growth, but rather like the oak, the progress of which is hardly perceptible, but in time becomes a deep-rooted tree." If we lived in a state where virtue was profitable, common sense would make us saintly. But since we see that avarice, anger, pride, and stupidity commonly profit far beyond charity, modesty, justice, and thought, perhaps we must stand fast a little bit, even at the risk of being heroes. We must stand fast a little, even at the risk of being heroes. And of course, how is that risky, being a hero? Heroes put on pedestals and many times are quick to be knocked down. And who said that? Thomas More, the chancellor for Henry VIII, who lost his head. Never think of yourself so good compared to God that there is no room for humbleness. You can be the best man in the whole world, but you must be humble to be acceptable to God. Prayer is effective, not because of the prayers of a great people, but because of a great God who listens and involves his people in doing great things in his name. And I'm going to use that today for a theme as we look at scripture texts in Psalm 115. I'm going to use that portion of it. Prayer is effective not because of the prayers of great people, but because of a great God who listens and involves his people in doing great things in his name, because of a great God. So turn, if you would, to those scriptures in Psalm 115. Looking at our theme today, because of a great God. Now we have two that are going to read today, myself and Mrs. Lear. So there are 18 verses. We'll each read 9. I'll read the first 9 and you can read the second 9. Psalm 115, reading from the English Standard Version. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them." And I've just read, I'll read one more. "O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Trust in them. So I've just read from verse 1 to 9, Psalm 115 in the English Standard Version.
All right, and finishing up Psalm 115, verses 11 through 18, also from the English Standard Version, or 10 through 18. "O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 115, verses 10 through 18 from the English Standard Version.
And we will bless the Lord at all times. Mm-hmm. And so when we're saying praise the Lord, which of course everyone knows when I answer the telephone, regardless of whoever's calling, I say praise the Lord. And of course, yesterday we had a call from a business outlet that we had done some business with, and it was interesting. The fellow listened to the message, and as he was leaving the message, he said, "Amen." Mm-hmm. So, of course, "Amen" actually means more than what most people think. "Selah" or "Amen" means, "Lord, let it be." Mm-hmm. And so, the issue of what we're looking at here in this chapter of Scripture, Psalm 115. Aren't you glad I didn't choose today to read the entire of Psalm 119, which would take us a while, a good portion of time, such a long chapter, but using as a theme because of a great God. And the chapter starts off here, 115, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." Why? Because he's a great God. We may not be a great people, but he is a great God. And even the greatest amongst us, the greatest man that ever lived, and I don't know who that is necessarily, we could probably discuss that and kind of take a vote on who we think is the greatest man who ever lived. But certainly that great man doesn't even come close when you use the word great to how great our God is. It's interesting in this chapter 115, when the question is asked, why should the nations say, where is their God? And our answer, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Can any of us ever say that we can do all that we want to do everything that pleases us? Of course not. But there's a statement, and I rarely, if ever, hear these things anymore. If it pleases God that I should such and such. If it pleases God that I should do this or that. People don't usually ask that anymore because basically they're in the me, 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 I generation. I'm going to do what pleases me, and I don't have to ask anybody. That kind of selfishness, which is, in a sense, human destruction. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. And this reminds me, years ago, when I saw the testimony of a fellow that was in, I think it was India, and they were, in his class in school, they were making little idols. And so they made the idols, and then the teacher said, okay, now kneel down and bow to the idol. Mm-hmm. And this young man thought about that, or this kid, I guess it was, thought about it and said, why would I be bowing down to an idol that I just made with my hands? And he thought about the fact, if the flood ever came, you know, the river is overflowing its banks, I'd have to pick my idol up and take it with me so it wouldn't drown in the river, so to speak, whereas the true God would pick me up and keep me from drowning in the river. And that really impacted me when I heard that, because they have mouths but do not speak, eyes that do not see, And of course, last week we looked at a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that mentions that. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. So all those who trust in idols become like the idols themselves. They make no sound in their throat. Those who make them become like idols. Now Israel, trust in the Lord. This is the command of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. We know that putting on the shield and the buckler, as it's talked about in spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, these words are used over and over again in different portions of scripture. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Now that almost seems redundant, doesn't it? O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. So we may have people that are known as God-fearing people, but they don't trust in him. They're afraid of him, so to speak, but they don't trust in him. And so the issue is, it's not a matter of being afraid of the Lord. The Lord wants his people to trust him, and that's a good thing. And there's a benefit to that, because he is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. Now, through the next few verses of this passage of scripture in Psalm 115, as we're thinking about a theme, because of a great God, it's mentioned how many times here he will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So no matter who you are, whether you're just, and the small and great is not in physical stature, mind you. Small and great, there are some of us that are, not very prominent necessarily, and there's some that are very prominent people, where maybe everybody in the whole world knows who they are, or certainly that they're way up there. But the Lord is saying, no matter who you are, whether you be small or great, he will bless those who fear the Lord. So when we have fear of the Lord, remember that's also in Psalm 1, that's the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Not because we're afraid of what he can do to us, but recognizing his awesome greatness. And that because he is a great God, understanding that and looking to him in that way produces something very important. And of course, as the Lord has mentioned how many times in here, he will bless, he will bless, he will bless. And I always ask the question, do you want to be blessed or would you rather be cursed? I mean, if I just even with my limited abilities, if I said to somebody, do you want me to bless you or do you want me to curse you? That's like saying, okay, do you want me to feed you dinner or would you rather I whack you with a club? You know, gee, that's a difficult question to answer, right? Of course we want the Lord to bless us. But it's not willy-nilly. It's not random. Or it's not Tommy Rot, as my friends in the Trumpet publication said. The Lord has told us what we need to do to inherit that blessing. To inhabit that blessing is maybe even better than inherit the blessing. To inhabit that blessing. You want to live in the blessing of the Lord? This is what you must do. And of course, some people have had to open up a document, the last will and testament. And of course, the last will and testament and many people's last will and testament has provisions in it. If you want this inheritance, if you want this trust fund or whatever it is, this is what you must do to get it. And the person that wrote the last will and testament put those provisions in because that's what they believed was best. It's like it was a movie with James Garner. It was very comical, I think. where he actually made the videotape before he died so his grandson could watch it, because he was leaving the grandson in charge of the company that he started and there was money involved. But he made provisions for the young man, saying, okay, first of all, to inherit this money and to have this position, you have to get married. And besides that, you have to go to church. Or besides, there's a whole list of provisions. If you want the money, if you want the blessing that I want to leave you, this is how you're going to get it. Well, personally, for myself, when somebody makes a statement like, would you want this? Would you want that? I ask the question, okay, yes, I would like that or I wouldn't like that. What do I have to do to get it? It's like looking at the price tag on anything. Gee, I really would like to have that. What am I have to give for it? And it may be that the price tag is higher than I'm willing to pay. It's not worth that to me. No, I'm not gonna. So the Lord has given us the price tag of his blessings. And not because he's chintzy and not because he's stingy or any of those things. Because he's a great God. He knows what is best for us. So consider that this week as you're considering these scriptures we're looking at. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. And of course, I guess we could say, well, gee, I've heard people say, I was blessed by this person, I was blessed by that person. I want to ask them, really? Well, that's nice. But have you been blessed by the Lord? Because to be blessed by the Lord, you must know him. And you must not only know him, you must recognize that he is a great God, not because he's egotistical and he needs our praise to be greater. That's ridiculous. Praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, declaring his holy name, saying praise the Lord, is not good for the Lord. He doesn't need it. Doesn't make him any greater. Doesn't make him any bigger God. Doesn't make him any more of the God of heaven and earth. But it's good for us. Did you hear me? It's good for us. It's good for me. When I praise the Lord and I recognize him publicly, that's beautiful, valuable truth. When God is dishonored, when those that see what the Lord is doing and they don't take delight in it, God is more glorified than if they only see it. So it's like saying, okay, Mama puts beautiful meal on the table and we just look at it. After she spent hours in the kitchen and preparing and shopping and all those things. But what would really bring delight to Mama? That she saw that we were delighted in what she had prepared. Some of these simple truths are not so simple at all, are there? I mean, there's lots of simple truths that aren't so simple because you've got to clear your mind and your heart and make a staging for the Lord to be there so we can recognize he's a great God. You know, the phrase went around for a long time, anytime you said, praise the Lord, God is great. God is great all the time. It became kind of a cliche for a lot of people, but it's true. God is great all the time. And we want to lift up right now in prayer our president, Donald Trump. He's got many things going on, many important meetings. Busy schedule. We pray for his health, for his well-being, for him and his family. And we thank you, Lord, that you are influencing him in ways. He's responding We can see that, and there are people close to him that have certainly testified to that. And we pray for Vice President Pence, who's traveling a lot this week, and a lot of things that are happening with him. And we pray for the United States Congress, both houses, the House of Representatives and the Senate. They have many decisions to make. We know a lot of the decisions that they're making are being clouded by the desires of men instead of what you, Lord, desire. And we do want to be known as a country, as many people have said throughout the world. It's not that just that we're ambitious, that we're helping other countries and other people throughout the world to see what we believe is important for them to see, not to become an American, but to become a true Christian. And we thank you and praise you as always. We love to pray in the name of our risen Savior, who is the King of creation, who is, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord. O my soul, and all that's within me, I'll bless his holy name.